by the new and living way.
Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant.
Can we just give the Lord all the glory? Let's just give the Lord the glory. Father, we just give you all the glory for all the testimonies that has been acknowledged by your servant. Thank you for the mercy I have found to be a part of what you are doing in the midst of the earth. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm more concerned about, the mercy God wants to show than even what, as it were, I will find grace to say, amen. It's always a rare honor to stand before this company. While I sat there, I just saw, somewhere a desire in the heart of the Lord and the Father, which the Holy Ghost is walking towards. What's the desire? The Father desires to see churches with this formation, churches with this order. Churches who have enjoyed grace, like this local assembly has enjoyed grace. And I know the Father has answered the prayer of our Lord Jesus concerning it, and it will come to pass. So thank God we are not just seeing, fellow daughter ministries. We are going to see many other ministries like that across, not just Nigeria, across the earth. The Father is seeing it, and somewhere our work, our obedience will be instrumental to it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mos fradini kakos te vidu mandaio foli sklinos tivi nomri e kafos te binge vodia. I am my spirit. I am the light in the midst. I am the light in the midst. I am the light in the midst. I am Jesus, the light in your midst. The light in your midst, the light that is illuminating your darkness, the light that is illuminating your darkness. I am Jesus, the Son of the living God, the Son of the eternal God, the Son of the living God. I am the illumination of the church. I am the illumination of the church. I am the illumination. I am the education. I am the learning of the church. I am the learning of the church. For you see, you have found grace and mercy in my sight, that I am allowed to come in the midst. For I have been allowed to come in the midst. I have been allowed. I have been given a place in your midst. Oh, it's a great privilege. For many, many gardens has no such privilege. Not because they don't want to, but they don't know how. But you have been granted mercy, even by them that have placed over you, to know how to put me in the midst. I am he who is in the midst. I am the illumination in your midst. I am the illumination in your assembly. And I have come again to shine light. I have come again to shine light. I have come again to cause light to break out in your midst. In your midst. In your midst. I am again to reason zige longa. Emriantos to longa, egrias to faligele longa. I bring liko logo longa. I brought a sivo nongri asto faito loco light lon longa. I bring a lonely longa. I branch the fali ghetto longa. Even a longer light. Even a longer light. A longer light. A longer light. An everlasting light. I'm everlasting light. I'm bringing a call with everlasting light. And I will shine. I will shine. See the Spirit of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, I come before you again, confident in what you have proposed to do, which your saints and servants in the house have prayed concerning, which is in accordance to the desires of our Lord Jesus concerning today's ministration. Father, I desire of you mercy. Mercy to be a blessing to somebody who earnestly needs to appreciate in his and our persuasion, even concerning your present speakings. I desire all the help that your Spirit has, which should see me serve our Lord Jesus under his servant in the house acceptably. And so I receive by faith that which you have. I come under the grace that is upon this house. I align under the ministering Spirit that has been serving with your servant in this house. Help me to bring a word in due season. Help me, our Lord Jesus. Help me with the help that you help every minister of the New Testament. In the mighty of our Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Amen. Used to share something in common that somewhere I can say I no more share in common with some people. And let me just start there. Our prior exposure in the world brought us a very, very serious limitation. Sin is a limitation, and it became a way of life. It became something we're once proud of, something we're once, you know, confident in, you know, in the arm of flesh. And one thing that sin did is to get us to believe in it, to believe in that life. Amen. And if you look at Romans chapter 1 verse 16, let's start there. That scripture came. I'll use it to marry some other things that dropped in my heart. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. A time comes that verse of scripture means to you, should mean to you what it meant to Paul. At some seasons of our lives, it doesn't necessarily mean to us what it meant to the writer. But by mercy, God has brought some, and God is bringing many to a place where many of these scriptures we read would have become comforts. The truth of those scriptures would have been found in our flesh. Yeah, many of these truths would have found their way into our flesh. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. We are celebrating by God's grace. We started today. And that's why some of us are beautifully dressed. We are celebrating the son that, you know, that song says, early on, you have a son. Firstly, we are celebrating our Lord Jesus today. We are celebrating his work amidst his sons on earth, one of whom is known to us, one of whose, you know, has been serving us. And then the song says, early on, you have a son. Early on, you have a great son. And that great son has raised a son in our midst. And, amen. That song came to me about 2 a.m. this morning. And, you know, the fact that Elion has been able to raise a son like this in this house speaks volume in the realm of the spirit. They know that it's a matter of time. The least to the greatest will have that stature. What I said, I believe it. Maybe 101%. There's mercy to bring it to pass. That is what is in the mind of the Father. And the only person that can stand against that expectation is you. And by God's grace, you will not succeed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, one thing we are celebrating here today is how God raised a son and how he wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I knew Pastor Meka about some 22 years ago. I knew the humble beginnings and dealings God brought his way. That is the secret to what we have been enjoying as a local church. The courage, the help he found, not to be ashamed of that season. You know, right now many of you can relate to Pastor Meka. You may even want to serve him because somewhere there are some things that are exciting that are happening around. There was nothing comely. There was nothing appealing. There was nothing exciting about those seasons. But those were when, by God's grace, he lives on words. He was able to live on words in that season. He was able to, like Reverend said, Reverend was talking about how one reason why God permits shame is to deal with a shameful state of the soul. Any soul that has not been processed by the shameful looking experiences is because of sin and death in us that we call those experiences shameful looking. They are not shameful looking. They are experiences that prepare us for the seasons of glory. So, and they are the experiences that deal with a shameful state of a soul that limits the soul from not being able to hold the inheritance of faith or to own the life of faith. So a soul that doesn't have that life of faith in his soul is a soul that has not come over a shameful state. Amen. So for Paul to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, he's saying, I'm not ashamed of the dealings that will see the Lord deal with sin and death in the soul. I'm not ashamed of the experiences wherein they will take away that garment, that beautiful looking arrangement of life. That beautiful looking life called sin and death. Because truly, the reason why we pursued sin, the reason why we walked according to the course of this world was because sin looked beautiful. Doing our will looked adventurous. It showed us something in it for us. And anytime you can behold something of self, you're actually beholding something that is shameful, something that is reproachful, because sin is a reproach. But by God's grace, thank God for the training in the house, and I believe God will have everybody celebrate that training. The training that has seen some and many others teeming in their numbers come to that place where they are not ashamed of the experiences that will see them seek. Ultimately get to a place where they can now seek first the kingdom. Because to seek first the kingdom, you must actually have become a citizen of Christ. It's Christ that seeks first the kingdom. So Jesus was giving them an everlasting commandment. That's why he was actually preaching the kingdom. Later, Paul will come and amplify how you will come into the sanctuary and become a holy brethren. Who should have one ambition? The kingdom of God. So God has been able to raise a company by God's grace who are not ashamed of seeking first. How do you get to the kingdom of Christ? How do you become a citizen in the kingdom of Christ? By seeking first the things that pertains to his brethren. You remember the message of Pastor Timatosi? That thing, that is how you hold the mystery of faith. Until you are purified from what makes you unholy. Until you are purified from what makes you unholy. It's holding faith that purifies the soul. So there is a duration of time you hold faith, and you will be a whole man in the sanctuary. You'll be a brethren, a brother, a brethren of Jesus by holding faith. And like what Pastor Timothy was just saying on that particular day was that the shortcut is to love his brethren. Their needs are actually your needs. The need of the brethren are actually your needs. Especially when you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he was talking about, you know, how a church profited so much with grace. You know, how some had a grace to give. And, you know, he talked about a time came when, you know, those who had abundantly and those who did not, there was no difference between them. Because they were able to supply the lack of those who did not have as much as they did. And I believe that's one of the reasons for the prosperity in the spirit that we are seeing in the house. Even though if we are to perfect charity, we will excel there. So it's not necessarily everybody that has excelled there. When you excel there, you become holy. You become whole. The only thing you'll be thinking about, the only thing that will now, nothing else will satisfy you but a higher concentration of life. Nothing else will satisfy you but true abundance. Why? Because you are content. You are content with life. You are content having food and raiment. There are spirits you can't wrestle with until you can get to a place in the sanctuary where if the only thing you have is food and raiment, you are okay. So not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ is not getting to a place where you can't take some thoughts. Getting to a place where you are not ashamed of any experience or dealing the Lord will bring your way to strip you of the garment called sin and death. Sin and death is a garment. And at some season, it looked beautiful. That's why we treasured it. That's why we kept it. That's why we bragged about it. When I mean sin and death, I'm talking about a life. I'm talking about the life that can be found in all natural men. And the life that can be found even in carnal believers. The life that the gospel will deal with headlong in seasons when they can hedge us around. So I remember, somebody was telling me about an incident yesterday. A brother who came across his waters and somehow he had so much zeal. He wanted to do so many things about God, for God. But somehow he came to a season when, you know, he had a good job, I think, in an oil and gas firm. And to cut a long story, today is no more even identified with these waters. And those who are identified with these waters, he somehow despises them. So I now told him, I told the brother, there's a mercy he had not yet found. Even all those times when he was, you know, zealously following the path. I said, until they can hedge you around, until they can redefine your coordinates in the natural, they can't deliver you from the world. So I answer that every one of us, somewhere, God's hand is upon us. There is a weight that is getting you to follow. If you take away that weight, you see people draw back.
Thank you, Vani Okosivina, Ogelinasti Foki Manga, Kovini God, Gafoni God, Emino Prince of God, Efaudi Kenuko do God, Amonoke Kruka Stefino God, God. It's not only God, it's only God. Estonians only God, it's only God, it's only God, it's only God, it's only God. It's the mercy of the only true God, it's the mercy of the only true God, it's the only mercy of the only true God. His mercy, 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 mercy. It is my mercy. It's my mercy. It's my mercy. It's my mercy that produced this power. It's my mercy that I've kept. It's my mercy that is fueling the journey. It's my mercy that is making me to conform. It's my mercy that is making me to lay down their life. It's my mercy that is putting faith and courage in the heart of men, that they should not draw back. I hear the Lord saying to somebody, don't break the edge. 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 For you see the power that is making you not to take the decisions you want to take is my power. It's my mercy. It's my mercy. It's my mercy. The power that is limiting you not to do what you would have done naturally is my mercy. And I'm telling you, stay within my mercy. Keep yourself in my mercy. Keep yourself in my mercy. Keep yourself in my mercy. Do not be tempted with that which is outside. For there is nothing outside. For outside is corruption. Outside is death. Outside is condemnation. Outside is destruction. I want to stay in my mercy. Stay in my mercy. Stay in my mercy. Do not break out of my mercy. Stay in my mercy. And you will see a beautiful ending. See the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah. So to take no thought for your life is actually for us to come to a place where we can no more take thoughts that is coming from sin and death. Because our first life was sin and death. So a season comes in the lives of a believer. As long as he can endure that season when they are dealing with shame in the soul. Like I said earlier, what limits the soul from having mastery of the life of faith? What limits the soul from having a mind having a mind that is carrying the thoughts of Christ is a state, is a shameful state. And the only way to deliver that soul is for God to firstly hedge him around, and then the Lord will lead him through situations, contrary situations. And it's not about the issue in the natural. It's about the fact that they want to deal with a nature that is still Gentilic. Because in that Matthew chapter 6, he was talking about these things do the nations of the Gentiles seek. So he was talking about actually sin and death. Amen. So I said something earlier. I said, I once shared something in common with some, and I saw how the Lord, somewhere in a good measure, delivered me from it. There is a wisdom of sin and death that makes you to look at yourself. Sin and death is actually a commandment. It's a commandment. It's a commandment that is driven by a law. And that law is self-seeking. I once wrote some years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago, I said, one of the things the epistles of Paul wants to do is to help us to take our eyes off ourselves. Meaning take our eyes off sin and death. Take our eyes off ourselves. Take our eyes off men. Take our eyes off things. By then I was actually wrestling. I was actually using some scriptures to wrestle my soul out of an hemisphere in the spirit and then place it on the commandment. Because what actually happened in Eden? Huh? is what happened to all of us. The warfare that Adam lost, we also lose it out in that warfare daily. Adam, Satan got Adam to take his eyes off commandment, off the everlasting commandment. And immediately his eyes left the everlasting commandment. Wherever the eyes will land is an unsafe place. It's a terrain of limitations. Failure is guaranteed. So I kept seeing a nature. For example, when you are called to preach as a preacher, or let's assume somebody in health ministry, there's always something in you that want to, even while sometimes you are trusting God for help, you are trusting God for mercy, you are not really, really empty of a life. So is that life that sometimes will get you anxious? Is that life that will sometimes get you to fear? Is that life that will get you to respond in fear? It's a life within. But look at me. When they empty the soul of that life, the soul becomes really helpless. And then, at every occasion when that soul is trusting God for a thing, God will show up because he's really helpless. But as long as there's the presence of that life will draw your attention to yourself. And there's nothing good in self. There's nothing good in self. This morning I was just thinking about it. I looked at the life of our Lord Jesus. I saw a secret. And I saw how, even though that secret has been patented for the church, I'm seeing how one of the people that have access to that secret are his servants. The servants of God are those who God leads in a way where he empties them of themselves. The measure of self we have is the measure of unholiness we have. So the reason why a believer will struggle to seek first the kingdom on all occasions is because he still has a contrary life. So I was telling somebody in the course of the week, I said, the measure of the present life we still have is the only bait, is the only thing the enemy uses to limit us from seeking the life that they want to give. Somewhere in Matthew, I think chapter 19, and the book of Luke, it talked about the life that now is, and it talked about in the world to come, everlasting life. So when I read that scripture, I saw a simple meaning of what that scripture was trying to say. It was trying to say that there is a life that is yet to come, but that is meant to come. For that life to come, the present life in us has to be displaced. So in some other places, you use the word the world to come. Meaning, as long as that world has not been brought, then we don't yet have everlasting life. But when you look at the Bible study that by God's grace we've been having, I've been following some of them by God's grace, I see the declarations of our dear mother in the faith being fulfilled. When his dear handmaiden said, this year you will have everlasting life. How do you have everlasting life? They commit the knowledge of everlasting life to you. She didn't say, this year you will inherit everlasting life. She said, this year you will have everlasting life. Meaning they will measure the waters of that life. They will bring the awareness of the world to come. So if they are bringing the awareness, the knowledge of that world to come, meaning they have displaced a life that limits it. What limits everlasting life from sitting in the soul is actually sin and death. Everlasting life comes to deal with a nature that is higher than sin and death. The life of Christ deals with sin and death. The gospel of Christ. This is what we read earlier. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So, meaning a time comes when the Lord has been able to lead a believer. He has been able to use many contradictions around the present life. Many limitations that can be traced to the fall. You know, maybe around finances, around economy, around health issues. Those things are just baits. What the Lord wants to do when he is, in quote, delaying to answer our prayers, he wants to offload a life. He wants to use that same thing to offload a nature. to flood a life. And as many as whom the Lord can successfully in seasons, lead them and use those contrariness to deal with their nature. A season comes when what they will be doing daily is actually receiving everlasting life. Receiving the world to come. Receiving a knowledge which at some seasons it will not become a commandment. When you have gathered that knowledge to a particular measure, it becomes a commandment. If you go against it, you transgress. At some seasons, the Lord may not hold us accountable. At some seasons, they will spare our follies. They will spare our foolishness. But at some seasons, when they know that you have an understanding of the demands of that life and you go against it, they will chasten you. They will chasten you, Saul. Amen. So the Hebrew church got there. Like by God's grace, we have gotten somewhere in the spirit. In chapter 3, he talked about consider the apostle and the high priest. But before then, they had considered something. They had looked unto the Lord. Somewhere in a good measure, that garment called sin and death, that life, that definition of life had been collected. So our Lord Jesus through Paul was not telling them, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. What is he saying here? Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Of course, we know Jesus, the Son of God, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne. Meaning what was set before them in that new season ultimately is the throne. So what does it mean to look up to Jesus? Paul was saying here, he said, the same way you have experienced a measure of life that Jesus authored, that dealt with that reproachful state and that estate of the soul, that ignorant estate of the soul, and then you became holy brethren. Meaning there's a higher holiness to look for. There's a higher wholeness. So a man can be whole in the sanctuary. Take that same whole man into the most holy place. He's not whole. You can't trust it. God can't trust his judgment. There are things he will fetch while looking unto Jesus. Meaning, look at me. You see, the greatest warfare are parents in the faith, are elder, daddy, mommy in the house of faith, is this scripture. The greatest warfare. Not to observe everything else that eyes can see. Why? Because those things that the eyes can see, they are not actually real. They are only real because of where the soul is dwelling. Take those things to the realm where they are speaking from. They don't have an expression. Amen. Hallelujah. They are not real. They are not real. And a soul can profit with that dealing by living on this world. By living on what the soul will fetch while looking unto Jesus. Okay. The first person that fulfilled this scripture to the letters was our Lord Jesus. He looked unto the Father. He faced much more contradictions than we will ever face. And what he did then is what we're meant to do. He looked unto the Father. I tell people, I said, you can't define God's faithfulness by anything negative or positive that is happening in the natural. You want to find the definition of God is faithful? First John chapter 3 verse 15. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's where you find God is faithful. That's where the actual definition. What makes God faithful is that he gave his all. So what is causing us for headache, doubt, fears, grumbling is far less than his all. So actually the training of the Most Holy is to do one thing, to live on words. So look at me. Job, they had committed a volume of knowledge into him, like they are committing knowledge to us. At some seasons, they knew that under pressure, this man will fall back to words. This man will esteem the words of God's mouth more than his necessary food. So every contradiction that was happening, what did Satan do? Satan came against an arrangement. He came against what he has access to. He doesn't have access to the world to come. He has access to the present life. So meaning the present life is not real. All the losses that Job expressed in Job chapter 1 is not real. They had fed Job above that thing. Like they are feeding us above the present. What are they feeding us above? What do they feed Christ with? They feed Christ with the world to come. So meaning what is real? What is real? The world to come. Everything outside the world to come is not real. What is real is joy, is what is joyful. And there's joy. To find joy, a Christ company has to pass through the path of life into his presence. So what is real is actually what is in presence. So every contradiction we are going through is trying to bring us into presence. What you call delay, denial, in answered prayers, the wisdom of God is that we find a bait. And sometimes, like for our father Abraham, sometimes God just finds one thing he can dwell on. He doesn't use 2-3 things. He just dwells on one thing. And he knows that you need to endure. Sometimes, look at me, they can use one situation to raise somebody with flesh to become Christ, and they can use that same situation to bring him into some thresholds of everlasting life. Because when God was dealing with Father Abraham, by the time he showed up, he said, "Walk before me and be that perfect." And he was still using that same tool, that same bait. Because that was the Almighty Father speaking. And it was recorded in Romans chapter 4. He says he was strong in faith. So they use that dealing, one dealing, to raise him like as a prophet. He was called a prophet. But they also used that dealing in a measure to raise him to be more than a prophet, to bring him into the order of everlasting in a measure. When we understand this, we will profit at a shorter time around, turnaround time from trials. We will the first profiting of every trial in the season of Christ, in the season of the revelation of his faith, is actually to be holy. Every trial you will go through in the seasons when they want to measure the full age of Christ to you is to make you holy. That's what they call them, holy brethren. And then in the season when they cannot use that same trial or something else, it's so that they want to measure a higher holiness. They want you to partake. Look at me. In season of everlasting life, all the trial you will go through, all, is to measure the holiness of everlasting life. Is to cause us to partake of his. So, holy brethren, I'm meant to partake of his holiness. The comfort that they will receive while doing so will come while doing one thing. There is no evil spirit you cannot wrestle if you can choose to do one thing. There is no evil spirit. Because those evil spirits, they have their age, they have their patience. Angels have their patience. But you see, when the Bible talks about being followers of them who through faith and patience, it's talking about a higher provision of patience in the Son that can deal with overcoming evil spirits. That's what Paul used. That faith there in Hebrews chapter chapter 10, I think verse 38, is actually a most holy faith. Be full of them who through a most holy faith and patience inherit the promise. Then he now cataloged those who also did likewise in a shadow, who came into the everlasting life of that testament through a most holy faith of their season. So Hebrews chapter 11 is actually an account of most holy faith of that testament. And with it, they obtained good report. Meaning with most holy faith in our dispensation, we are going to obtain the promise. So there is no spirit with most holy faith and patience. Those two things, once a soul can swear, like Job did. Job swore. And actually, that's what these waters will do. When you store this water, it's not something you are hearing. It's just God's mercy to help the soul. Like David. To get it. See, when you gather the waters to a place, the waters of this life, will be able to respond in any situation. So look at me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. What our faith is that? Is that faith in the sanctuary? It's not faith in the sanctuary. That's why you have semicolon. He wants to explain what it means to finish faith. Who? For the joy. So why the use of faith? Because you have been given a better substance. Come and fight with a better substance than the substances of the faith that is in Christ. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So there are substances that makes up the faith that is in Christ. Those substances, they are righteous substances. It's a right way to bring the life of Christ into the flesh and to push away sin and death. After you have done, while doing so, like the Hebrew church, Satan will touch everything they have access to. For the Hebrew church, Bible talks about how they took joyfully the spoiling of their goods. Meaning, their goods could no more separate them from the Lord. That's one proof. One proof that you have used faith. Faith will separate you from our goods. You will use your goods severally to serve the saints and thereby serve the Lord. You know, you serve the Lord Jesus with your goods, serve his saints. Be a distributor of it. Don't gather more than is meant. As it's coming, the burden on your mind should be, who is the owner of this thing? Who is the owner of this thing? Who is the owner of this? Who is the owner? You know, there's this peace and comfort that comes away when our account balance is increasing. But when it's decreasing, that's when you lose your peace. I saw a dealing the Lord brought my way. It was tough. It's not everybody that can bear that dealing. It's not everybody. But it helped me to be separated from the life around goods. So you can travel light in the spirit. You can fetch breath. When we have gathered more than is met, you will be receptive in the spirit. You will be able to fetch breath. I remember some of the trainings I subjected myself to then. I'll take food to office. I could buy food in the office, but it's more expensive. And when you spend more than you ought to spend, something that belongs to somebody is suffering. Yes. He said, let every man walk that he might have to give. So you will have less to give when you are not prudent. So then I did something just to use that whole season to express separation. I would take 200 naira then, I remember. My wife would make food for me. I would go sometimes with a colleague. Some of my colleagues then, they had a driver and a car. They could not necessarily afford it. It was coming at the expense of love work. It was coming at the expense of some love work somewhere. Some of those self-gratification. I would go with it to work. Sometimes I would come back with the 200 naira with a colleague. I could have afforded a higher lifestyle, but it would have come at a cost to some seed time. It takes a lot of jealousy to acquire a measure of life at the right timing. Amen. So look at, let's see another scripture again. Let's see another scripture we have seen previously. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9. Let's see that scripture. Mark you, the audience are those who have experienced sanctification. They were not talking to them about sprinkling of the blood. Because in the season of sprinkling, they will use blood to resist. Hebrew church, they had used the water of faith to resist. Paul was not saying, come, you don't need to use blood, a higher concentration of life. You need to use the everlasting life to go against sin. To go against iniquity. So in Romans, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, it says, receiving the end of your faith, because Jesus is both the author and the finisher of our faith. What I'm saying to you is that faith continues into the most holy. So receive the end of, he didn't say receive the end of the commandment of faith. The end of the commandment of faith is charity. But after the commandment of faith, you now have what is called most holy faith. And that word for most holy faith is everlasting life. Because by it you will fight spirits that are limiting you from holding the inheritance called everlasting life. So after you have the inheritance of faith, if you will have the inheritance of everlasting life, you will need to also hold the most holy faith. It's why holding most holy faith that the nature that feeds those spirits will be dealt with. That's where we'll be delivered from our enemies and from them that hate us. Just holding. Just what?
Holding.
Just holding faith. You can wrestle with rulers of darkness of this world. Hold most holy faith to the end. Faith will become an inheritance. So when he says there, he says receiving the end of faith. That year, I think, is in Italics. Even also is in Italics. Receiving the end of faith. What is the end of faith? When your soul is fully saved. You know why? Let me prove it to you. Hebrews chapter 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So meaning when you are relating with what is not seen, you can only do it by faith or by most holy faith. So the faith he was actually making reference to in Hebrews chapter 11 is most holy faith. He said, for by it the elders, meaning most holy faith will make you an elder. The faith that is in Christ will not make you an elder. Those elders, they were the citizens of everlasting life of their dispensation. He said, but for by the elders obtained good report. Meaning, if elders obtain good report, meaning we're also going to use most holy faith to obtain the promise. Let's see 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, look at. He's talking about how their faith will be tried in the holy place. Their faith has been tried. That's why they have come to the holiness of faith. Seeing that you have purified yourself in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto. But faith will keep being tried, because they want to make the soul a higher, they want to raise the soul into a higher carat of gold that is found in the most holy. And when the soul can yield to that dealing, they will deal with the corruptible in the soul. They will now download to the soul that inheritance. When you say inheritance of everlasting life, meaning inherit a nature, a most holy nature in your soul that will make you undefiled. That will make you what? I didn't hear you. Incorruptible. That is what it means to partake of his holiness. When you partake of his holiness, you'll be undefiled. You'll be incorruptible. You will no more fade away. That the trying of your faith, look at me, that the trying of your faith be much more precious than gold that perisheth. So they want to deal with the tendency in the soul that can still make a soul perish. And we have been told that it will take everlasting life to do that. Though it be tried with fire. Remember Revelation chapter 3, one of the churches? Remember? This is what he was talking about. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in fire. This is a church in the most holy, like we are by God's grace. That thou mayest be rich and white raiment. Though it be tried in fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory. So it will take most holy faith to give us this expressions of everlasting life. Reverend called praise, honor, and glory the honor of eternal life. Why? Everlasting life is the honor of eternal life. So it will take most holy faith to secure that honor. It will take most holy faith to secure everlasting life at the appearance. So look at me. Jesus, this appearance, Jesus cannot appear. There are appearances. Faith is an appearance that will teach you to deny. It's an appearance that is pressed out of salvation that will first teach you to deny ungodliness, shun youthful lust. But the actual content of that appearance is to, after we have lived righteously, soberly, and God in this present world, is to now open up a season when the only thing we are looking for is the Father, is salvation. Meaning we want to be as holy as the Father. And what is that? We want to be holier than angels, than faithful angels. Meaning we want to be more separated than they are. What does that mean? Meaning we want to experience the separation of the world to come. So you know see why he says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the most holy fight of faith. Fight to be holy again. Thank you, Jesus. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Let me just butter some thoughts and go to one or two other things. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Even so, what faith is this? What faith is this? Most holy faith. What is most holy faith? The faith of everlasting life. Because by it you relate with a higher invisible substance. It's called better and enduring substance. That is in heaven. Where is that heaven? It's in God. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Meaning, this is how we are going to be truly or fully separated from the world. This is how we are going to be better than the world. So Jesus, our Lord Jesus proved it through that temptation. And I am better than the world. And a time is coming, look at me. Half of a congregation like this, 3/4 of a congregation like this will be better than the world. Yeah. Let's see Jude verse 27. So building up yourself. So everlasting life is actually a building. Christ is the foundation. What you build on Christ is a building. You know how beautiful a foundation is? It takes a lot to even have a foundation. To buy a plot of land and put a foundation in place. They say what you have is Christ. The Father says, I can't come and dwell there. And it's true. Which of us is dwelling in a house that doesn't have a building put on the foundation? Any of us here, you are dwelling in a house that just has foundation, no building. So what they are saying, what the Father is saying is that, thank God for that man called Charity. He's a fit. Thank God at that season. Thank God for overcoming sin and death. Thank God for that man that, suffers long, is kind, does not vaunt himself, does not seek our own, think at all things, believe at all things, hope at all things. He's not easily provoked. Thank God for that new man. I can't dwell there. That's not the man that will make up the city. That man cannot handle the glory of God. We need to make him glorious. We need to build him. We need to build him on most holy faith. And the only way we can do that is to train him like they train our Lord Jesus. You know what is helping us? Eh? The fact that they have also raised men who could take dealings that explains, you know, dealings that saw them entertain building. If not, the love of our life somewhere would have limited us from following. You know, nothing inspires us from to follow. Like seeing men who are followed. When God can raise an example, he has sent help. He can use such persons to convict us. Like they want to also raise us to become examples so that he can use our life to also convict others. So that faith can be preserved unto the third generation. Amen. So he now says, looking unto Jesus. Because that's the man that at every season of his life, I was looking at it earlier today, Jesus lived empty of self. Jesus had nothing to look at in himself. What I mean by that is that his eyes was always with the Father or on the Father. Always. And that's the only thing that guarantees victory against spirits in this season. Every spirit is trying to bring your eyes here to issues. No wonder Jesus said, there's nothing that is, no one is good. It's because of who he was seeing. It's because of where his eyes was. Jesus knew he was not settled with that measure of everlasting life he had gathered. He must gather every measure of it. Because the sin in the most holy is to try to settle for anything less than fullness. Sin is not lie and all the... sin in the sense of most holy is to settle for anything less than fullness. And we have that nature. Is that nature they want to feed? That is the enmity they want to deal with. In Philippians chapter 2, it says our Lord Jesus made himself of no reputation. He kept emptying himself. You know why we struggle to trust the Lord at God level? You have heard that word, at God level. Why do we struggle to trust the Lord, like David said, with all your heart, all your strength, all your might? I think Proverbs chapter 3 or so. Thou shalt trust the Lord their God with all your heart. You know why? Because you're not yet in possession of all your heart. It says somewhere, in patience, possess ye your soul. Where do you fetch that patience from? It's why using most holy faith. Why looking up to Jesus? Why just holding? Why holding better and enduring substances? While, you know, sometimes we go through things and as much as we want those situations to change, we can't desire that change more than the Lord does. When you understand that, the enemy will not be able to ruffle you. There is no answer prayer you desire that you can desire it more than the Father does. But he wants to use that thing to give you something you would not have asked for, but for that. He wants to draw your attention to what to seek. He wants you to lift up your eyes from that situation. And a lot of times, our eyes go back to that thing. And when our eyes get back there, every thought we are going to touch in the process of doing so will bring about one level of defilement to another. Even after we have won the fight of taking no thought from our life, from the life called sin and death, there's still another life. Reverend Bushi said, even when you get into, when you are moving to the most holy place, there are still thoughts that come from another life. A nature called iniquity that has been dormant is there. He said, iniquity was I shaping. So there are thoughts that do not come from iniquity. So in the season when they are teaching us to only do one thing, look unto Jesus, they want to thereby starve that nature. Amen. He said, our Lord Jesus made himself of no reputation. And the word, I think, comes from a root word that means Keno, so I talked about relinquishing right to self. So when you put self on one scale, on the other side of the scale is what the Father wants to give. The only thing that is competing with perfection itself is another word for self is light. And that's why in that Romans chapter 12, he now to talk about what they will do with self. How as newborn spirits, they now need to subject themselves to the Father of all spirits as spirit, as a Christ company with a spiritual nature that can please the Father in a measure, not well. They need to subject themselves to the Father of all spirits so that they can please the Father well and become beloved sons. What does it mean to please the Father well? Do it like Jesus would have done it. Because Jesus is our example. Because they want to give to us what they give to Jesus. And the only way they will give to us what they give to Jesus is for us to do it well. So we read in that chapter 12. Everything it says there, they were Jesus' great secret. Do one thing with your will, subject it. Meaning live like a bond slave will. You know, many of us, thank God for FDS, you know, expression. That's a heavy prophecy. For you to serve, some of us have been serving by God's grace, God's servant, that in the faith, maybe for 10, 15 years. A man will serve for 50 years. Am I correct? 50 years. And after serving, he has the right to now gain his freedom on the year of Jubilee. He will not look at me. They're asking for what I'm about to say. A time is coming, they will ask for it from everybody. There's a season they work for it. That right, that liberty that is now yours, oh yeah, now come and worship us with this. Come and give it to us. The only thing you own, which is your will, now come and worship us with it. So after a man like that has served for 50 years, you now say, even though I have the right, you know, to freedom, you know, I choose. So you now see, Hebrews chapter 11, when he was making reference to choice, it was using faith again. Using faith to choose what will lead to a higher holiness, a higher separation. Because without that holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That's the Lord Almighty. That's the Father. No man will comprehend the Father. And if you don't comprehend the Father, you can't have the Father's inheritance. And if we cannot have the Father, we can't give the Father. Amen.
Amen.
Full of peace with all men and holiness, without which no man, meaning they were men. They were men that had been hewn out of the sanctuary. The goal was now to see the Lord, was not to be able to comprehend the Lord, was not to be able to come to a place where they would, actually, when you really, really comprehend the Lord, thoroughly, you actually have an inheritance. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2. Let me read that. Let's go there. Let me just say one or two things there. Are we being blessed? Looking unto Jesus is a profession. It's a profession. It's a profession for every Christ company. It's a new profession where they will now make Christ whole again. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So when did Jesus finish faith? When did Paul finish faith? Paul said, I finished faith when I lay hold of eternal life. Or after inheriting everlasting life. That's when you finish faith. That's when you finish fighting. That's when the purchased possession, which is the soul, has been redeemed. That's when the Holy Ghost has actually, the ministry of the Holy Ghost has prospered. Remember in Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about until the redemption of the purchased possession. Actually, when the purchased possession, which is the soul, when it has been fully redeemed, Holy Ghost ministry has prospered. You know why? Everything the devil can use to tempt you, he has used to tempt you and he has failed, like Job. He would depart no more for a season. You know, at some point in time, he departed for a season after he tempted Jesus. Meaning there's a count of temptation wherein we are going to, you know, exercise faith and patience to wear out every mystery of death that comes our way. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let me go here now. Who for the joy? So, so right now, when you say you have everlasting life, meaning you have a knowledge, you have an awareness, you have an enlightenment. When you put it to use, number one, it will bring you into the consecration of that court. You see, sometimes they are praying for daddy. They say, oh, may God bless him with the consecration that can enable him, you know, serve, you know, that ministry spirit. Why? Because the season of the most holy is the season of a higher separation, which is actually a consecration, because that's what they do to high priest, those who have been taken from amongst men, those who will resist unto blood. Meaning those who will go against sin with blood, with the speakings, the judgments of everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go there. Okay. Who for the joy that was set before him? We're talking about the end of the finishing of faith. The finishing of most holy faith. Who for the joy that was set before him? What is this joy? What is this joy? Can I tell you this? This is what is motivating Reverend. This joy. I'm not lying to you. What is this joy? He can see that. He's seen that he's ministering to potential heirs of salvation. He's seen that his audience are those who are meant to inherit that world. His labor is so that you can stand in your lot in that city. It's a thing of joy. That's the source of his strength. That's the source of his strength. That strength is affecting his body. Joy is the joy of the Lord, my strength. His strength. And thank God, God is bringing, you know, God's servants in the house also into it. Yes. Dr. Mkara is a medical doctor, respected. He said he has been in the medical profession. He said Reverend's body has defied all medical explanation. You know why? Because of that joy. And that word for that is because of a most holy fight. You know, see why our Lord Jesus was wrought, was angry with the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Because they were to deny the Father of this pleasure. This thing brings seeing man come into this joy, this pleasure, this estate is what pleases the Father. So in this season, two things will happen, like I said in Lekki Soul Center. You are either pleasuring the Father or you are withholding pleasure from the Father. You see, all the volume of knowledge that has come our way, when God will begin to demand that we are regulated by it, when this knowledge will redefine our coordinates, our work, our conversation, if you do otherwise, what you simply do is you just deny the Father of pleasure. But that will not be a portion in Jesus' name. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Endured the cross. Endured the cross. You see that word, you know, in the book of Matthew chapter 25, let's see that, or 24. It says, he that endures to the end. When that is, you know, very soon, we're going to be seeing the end. Meaning, we're going to have the judgment of the end. We're going to see where this world ends and where the world to come begins. You didn't hear that?
Yeah.
This world that has robbed generations of believers from owning God, you are going to see the end of it.
Yeah.
Not by vision. By growth. The previous verse talks about how, you know, the love of many will wax strong because of iniquity. He said, but those that endure to the end, you know, what are they enduring? They will endure the lifestyle. They will endure that regulated lifestyle. They will endure the process of being subject to the Father of all spirits. They will endure the chastening that God will bring. And can I tell you this? God can't bring chastening through angels. God will bring chastening through men. It's men. And that's why you hear Pastor Kwe and some other pastors lead. Let's pray that God will help us to discern his servants again. There are some seasons when the Lord counts you worthy to draw nearer to him. Eh? He will allow you to draw nearer to his servants. He will measure out some chastenings through them to you. And by that chastening, you'll be purified. So you have to find grace to look beyond their face, beyond their voice, beyond every image that iniquity is trying to, you know, present to us about them. If you are hungry for life, eh? if you are desirous of being a citizen of that world in God, you will endure the chastening. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But. So what fuels this but? What is the source of this but? Is the meals that are coming our way, these teachings. But he that shall endure. So they are giving us better substances to fight natures. When you say you are fighting principalities, when you say you are fighting a ruler of darkness of this world, you are actually fighting a nature inside you, a nature that doesn't want to be smaller, a nature that doesn't want to be more humble, a nature that still wants to have a reputation. I wrote something earlier this morning. I said, To be made of no reputation, it's good sometimes you can paraphrase some scripture, some scriptural, whatever, in your own words. To be made of no reputation is for us to be ready to be nobody before men and before ourselves. It's two different things. To be made of no reputation, like our Lord Jesus. It's like Holy Ghost is helping me to see how our Lord Jesus saw himself. If you can understand that thing and you commit to it, honestly, will be our journey to sonship will be swift. To be made of no reputation is to be ready to be nobody before men and before yourself. It is to be numb before every judgment that comes from men about who you are. Every judgment that comes from the influence of sin and death. You know, there are some thoughts that you, when some thoughts land on our hearts, on our minds, we should be dead to them. We should be irresponsive to them. Right now, some thoughts can still wake us up because we only fainted. We only fainted to those thoughts. That's why we can react. But I'm seeing that the more we are being sedated with this life, the more responsive we should become. Some thoughts, some actions of people, what people are thinking about you, a time will come, you won't be able to respond to it. Why? Because truly you are dead to it. You are now alive to something else. And also, those judgments that come from a latent nature or law called iniquity that still resides deep within us. So, two things. To be nobody before men, and then now to be nobody before yourself. Then the Father becomes all in all. You know what they are doing? Like a medical doctors before whom they will bring a cadaver. Eh? You remember he says somewhere, he says where the carcass is, that's where the eagles. Yes. What they are doing is that they've brought our Lord Jesus. The Father gave him to us. He gave him that carcass. Our Lord Jesus made himself like a carcass. Eagles come to eat of carcass, fresh carcass. But they have to first dissect him. They have to dissect his walk. Firstly, with Pauline epistle did something. It x-rayed many things that happened before he showed up in Jordan. How our Lord Jesus wasn't ashamed of the gospel until the gospel became his. You know, at some point in time, the gospel wasn't an inheritance to our Lord Jesus. But at some seasons, it became an inheritance. So the epistle of Paul mostly extracted how he inherited it. And then the tail ends of it talked about how, of course, he also inherited, you know, a higher gospel. Amen. To be nobody before yourself. Our Lord Jesus got there. You can't bring him out of the fellowship. You can't bring him out of where he was. He was always empty. So he was always helpless. So the Father had to always help him. You know why sometimes the Father cannot help us? Eh? We have something else to fall back to. We have plan A, plan B, plan B, plan C, like a cat with nine lives. We have other lives to fall back to. But the season when, the day and hour when the Father sees that we have nothing, no alternative. When God becomes our alternative B, he will always show up. And when he always shows up, salvation will always show up. Deliverance will always show up. Beauty will always show up. That's why our Lord Jesus was never stranded. Because he was always helpless. He couldn't help himself. And I see how this issue of looking unto Jesus is to communicate a skill to us. Jesus was skillful in looking to the Father for help. It's a skill that this teaching wants to communicate to us. Amen. So looking unto Jesus is actually looking unto the being that God fathered. Is a curriculum of life. You can trust in that life. While doing so, they will do what they are doing to us. They will keep giving us the knowledge that will help us to possess our souls. Because you need to do so with all your heart. So now they are now helping us to repossess our soul, so that we can trust the Lord with all our hearts. So that we have enough doubt to doubt our fears. I notice something. Whenever I look at myself, any moment your hand, your eyes lands on yourself, unbelief is awoken. Any moment you just, maybe you are called to minister or it has to do with giving, anything. As long as your eyes can find its way to yourself, fear will resurrect. Unbelief will resurrect. That's what happened to Adam, for God's sake. Satan spoke. Immediately his eyes left that commandment. Holiness, something about a holy walk was tampered with. He became unholy in thought before it found expression as an action. There's nothing holy in ourselves. Nothing good in man. So all these teachings, amen, all these teachings is to strengthen us, not to take our eyes off the Father. Like in some seasons, God helped some of us not to take our eyes off the Lord until we came into some purifications, into some separations, into some holiness. God wants to strengthen our gaze on the Father. That's how Jesus wore out spirits. That's how he was never stuck of what to say. When all those evil spirits, all those bulls of Bashan encompassed him, those men, he was never stranded because his gaze was always on the Father. I'm seeing how they want to give us that secret. Once a believer can get that secret, that's it. And I see why this generation is going to overcome. It's just some secret that the puzzles of the secret, they are gathering it. A time will come when we'll find that last jigsaw puzzle, the last piece of the puzzle of what our Lord Jesus' relationship with the Father. When we find it, a company has been born. A company has been raised on earth. It won't be long. What everyone said is true. It's true.
Where the seven churches came short, we are going to overcome there. Where the Hebrew church drew back, we are going to bring the Father pleasure. We are going to be beloved son in whom his soul is well pleased. Can we just appreciate the Lord? Let's just appreciate the Lord. Thank you, Father. We believe, we agree with what you are seeing about us. It's totally different from what we are seeing about ourselves. Thank you for coming to deliver us from ourselves. Thank you for showing mercy to our eyes, our sense of judgment.
Malia Takara Basoso Pinegali. Break the Geskeli Bragadabasam Brode Gedi Adabaski. You will help our sight. You will help our hearts to keep our gaze on you, to set our eyes on you. You will help our hearts. Oh, our gaze wants to be on you. On you, O God. On you, O God. On you, O God. Till we overcome. Till we overcome. Till we overcome. Till we overcome. Our eyes on you. You said you will keep them in perfect peace, whose heart is stayed on you, because they trust in you. Oh, Matia Galebo Sabaya. Grab the Gesibro Badavaka. Mekeli Elebraska Magano. Jali Efreges Kedia de Baro Nade Keste. Jele Bragadia Scalibre de Gadosa. Bracte Keli Elebrag de Kete. Brag 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 de Kete. Shali Avaraka Se. Magregedi alabrando, Kelly Escalibra da Gadasta, Labrogo de Gige le Here Gadama Sozose, Abrag de Galia de Brata Galia, Opasia, Opasia, and Casala, help us to keep our gaze, fix our eyes on you, O God. Elo Sosivena, Elo Sosivena. Eloso Sivanai. Eloso Sivanai. Till we overcome. Till we lay hold. Till we lay hold. Till we can hold. Till we can hold. Yea, the end of this faith. The end of this conversation. Help our eyes. Melia Farode. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Eyes, 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 eyes. For the season of the preaching of everlasting light is the season of the giving of eyes. It's the season of giving of eyes. It's the season of giving of eyes for everlasting creatures. Even creatures everlasting in the order of God are creatures of eyes. Are eye creatures. Creatures full of eyes. Full of eyes. I hear in my spirit, eyes are being given. Eyes are being given. Eyes are being given. Eyes are being distributed. Eyes are being given for to see one thing. For to see one thing. For the everlasting eye is a single eye. An eye for the Lord. An eye for God. An eye for the things pertaining to God. We are giving eyes. In the season of preaching of everlasting life, eyes are being given. Eyes are being given. Receive your own eyes. Receive your own eyes. Take your own eyes. Eyes that will hook you to your Lord. Eyes that will fix your gaze on your God. Single eye that your whole body will be full of light. For the season of giving of eyes is the season of the fullness of light. Have I not said if your eye be single, if your eye be everlasting, if your eye be a gift of everlasting strength, you'll be full of light. You'll be full of light. And when you are full of light, darkness will have no place. Darkness will have no place. Darkness will have a place. So take your own eyes. Take the eyes, even the eyes that are being distributed, even by the Spirit of God. Eyes to see your Lord. Eyes to gaze upon He that can only be seen by Him that has been granted permission to see which cannot be seen, that which cannot be seen. For you are being given eyes to see that which cannot be seen. For you are to look on things not seen. You are to look on things not seen. Begin to look on things not seen by the giving of these eyes. Receive these eyes. Receive eyes. Everlasting eyes. Everlasting eyes. Everlasting eyes. Everlasting eyes. Eyes for your God. Eyes to behold one thing. Eyes. 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 Eyes.
Receive your sight. I say receive your sight. You know, it's not easy to keep your eyes on Him. As a matter of fact, you need to be given the eyes to see Him. You know why? Because things around contend with sight. Tribulation, trial, things we go through contend with sight. Take pleasure, contend with sight. Everything here contends with sight. Thank you, Pastor. You've ministered to me so much. Thank God I didn't preach today. The Lord spoke through you, sir. You've comforted my heart. You've encouraged my heart. For a season, I've been under bombardment, actually. I've been under bombardment, you know, Satan attacking my heart, you know. It's, you know, with words and accusations, you know. Sometimes he comes with accusations, you know. It's like your life is all about trial and tribulation. This is your trial, not the end at all. You know, that kind of thing and all of that. And sometimes you will just take your eyes to some things, some escapes you would have, you know, some not escape that the Lord had prepared, but what you have. And somehow that happened to be my message in Port Harcourt. I was teaching them, it was just what the Lord was telling me. I started teaching them about it. And I was preaching to them. I was preaching to myself. Sometimes the Lord will speak to you and you're preaching. You know, you're not talking to them, you're talking to yourself. I was just preaching to encourage myself. Amen. And so Satan will just come like that and then just begin to bombard you for a while. He will just keep it like that, like billows. And
No, one of the things about it is that those thoughts, most of the time, takes your eyes away from Him. Just takes your eyes away from Him. So one of those days, the Lord told me, you know, in the midst of all those thoughts, I said, God, what is this? My eyes being bombarded. The Lord gave me a scripture. And even that scripture itself is not easy to... He said, always remember, many are the afflictions of the righteous. They are afflicted because they are righteous. But the Lord God delivered him from them all. Amen. So I see the Lord bringing me comfort. You're going to interpret, all right? I see the Lord bringing me comfort, you know, from time to time in the midst of. Sometimes it can be so overwhelming. So I'm not, sometimes I ask myself, I say, what is the matter? Why? Okay, trials and tribulation, but leave my air. Leave the realm of thoughts. Let me. Sometimes I'll just stay and say, Lord, give me, you know, that prayer that David prayed. He said, give me a free spirit. I want to be free in my air. I want to be free in my thought. I don't want my mind to stay on these things. I want my mind to just be on Him. You know? But I found the Lord using you to bring me, you know, comfort, looking unto Jesus. I preach from that scripture. Of course, we preach from it again. But when you can preach a thing, but in the time of, you know, there comes a season where you have to now not preach it, but apply it. You have to now, it becomes a life to you. You have to now apply it, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The Lord will strengthen us to look unto Him. Because that's the answer. Reasons, sometimes He will give you reasons. Reasons, okay, the reason why this is because this one happened, and that's why this, if you have done this, this wouldn't have happened. If you did this, the other one wouldn't have been. Maybe you made a mistake here. You shouldn't have gone this way. He will begin to bring me, you know, past, you know, since you began to preach, you know, faith of the Son of God, you know, He has been from one. I remember one of those days, I've just finished preaching a very, very hot sermon in church. That was in Vokes. And so I've just finished preaching a hot sermon, and you know, on my way, I was playing this song. You know the song that you, this song, it brought me out upon the world. I used to like that song, but right now there are some songs I don't want to listen to again. Like when they begin to sing, break new well, dig new well. Because I know what that song is. I have an experience of what that song is. Dig new well. Break new ground. I'm not saying the Lord shouldn't do, but me, I don't want to partake in that song because you're praying. And they will answer that prayer. So I was playing. I was just playing. He brought me out upon the world. And that time was a time we were in a very serious trial. My wife's, you know, health was being, you know, was being contended for. How many years ago? Like 10 years ago. I was just driving and I was playing that song. Of course, both of us were overwhelmed, bombarded. And then I remember what she said. He said, maybe you should stop playing this song. Maybe that's where, you know, all these trials and everything is coming from. Amen. But I know it's not the song. Praise God. You know, like I said, it's just a lot of comfort that you've brought to us today, looking unto Jesus. We'll keep on looking unto Him. Amen. Amen. Pastor, do you have the interpretation? I believe the Lord spoke to us there.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Morning. Oh, see, I've remoted that my museum blast. No, my dear morning, morning comes, morning cometh, even the dawning comes. The dawning is coming. It's coming. The dawn is coming. The morning is coming. For the end is morning. The end is morning. For the end of the night is morning. The end of the night is morning. And as long as the morning has not come, it is not the end yet. The end comes when morning comes. Morning is the end of the matter. Morning is the end of the dealing. Morning is the end. My dear, morning is the end. Morning cometh. Morning. Weeping may endure for a night. It may endure for a night. It may endure for a night. But morning comes. Morning comes. Morning comes. Morning comes. And my morning comes. Morning. It's not far. Not far. A pioche que vrima sio trekistiona pranias and a piersiono pasterian appear to you. A glio pranioco safrestiano bronchian estiona vracias tiost appear to you. A liom reconio shagli freal dus camias tion going to appear to you. Amiosios going to appear to you. Aviostios you're going to appear to you. We're going to appear to you. We'll prepare to you. I will appear to you. I will appear to you even in the night. I will appear to you in the night. I will appear to you in the night to bring you to the morning. For you see, the night is for my appearance, for me to take you even into my morning. My morning, even my morning. My morning comes. The end is not the trial. I am the end. I am the morning. I am the morning. I am the morning. And I am the end. The end is me. You will come to me.
Amen. More than anything, one thing I desire, sometimes in the midst of it, I'll just say, Lord, if at the end of the day, all I can do is to get you, I think I'll be satisfied. I want to have God. You know, sometimes Satan is very, very wicked. You know, sometimes, you know what he used to tell me? He used to tell me, it's because you know, there was one I've said it several times. I said, one thing I have desired of the Lord. You know, David, you can desire the Lord of, you can desire something of the Lord. You know, like James and John, you know, that their mother came and asked the Lord if one could sit on his right hand and one could sit on his left hand. Praise God. I've also desired of the Lord. Praise God. I desired of the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to be among those. That's been my desire. To be among the those who, you know, the Bible said in the book of Revelation, and they stood on Mount Zion. No, it's not a joke. It's my innate desire to be the company of those who will stand on Zion. It's my, when you see your pastor, one of my, in fact, if you're praying for me, pray for me on that. That is my remote desire. Lord, I want to be among the company of them that will stand on Mount Zion. Do you know that Satan has used that to accuse me and tell me it's because of that? Shebi, you want to stand on Zion. That the reason why you're going through what you want, you're going through, if you have just done ministry the way people do ministry, and then you're not aspiring, why are you looking for standing on Zion? Now you're laughing about it, but the way you will bring it, the way you will blow the breeze on you, it will be in the midst of, so it's almost like drop that desire. You know, Proverbs said a man's true desire after he has separated himself. So desire has something it does. It separates you. After he has separated himself, intermingled with wisdom. The wisdom you come into or you come to intermingle is the wisdom of that very thing that you are desiring. Of course, the desire is not desire that is here. It's desire of God. A desire that can separate a man has to be the desire of God. Desire of things here can't separate you. Desire of things here can bring sanctification, can bring separation. So he will come like that in the midst of it and will just blow that breeze. Is what you're looking for. That's your problem. Amen. But, you know, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph through his Son. Amen. And if at the end of the day, the only thing is that I'm able to get God. Amen. And we will get him. Amen. We will get him. Amen. He is our joy. He's our, you know, when you're talking, when you say, who for the joy that was set before him? What was the joy that was set before Jesus? It was the Father. It wasn't any other thing that is outside the Father. It wasn't even about the throne as in throne particularly. No, it was about the Father. He was so in love, he was so in tune, he was so desirous of the Father, that the Father was the joy that was set. The Father, because of meeting the Father, he endured the cross, despised the shame, because the Father said, that's the only way you will come to me. Amen. Amen. And so we give God praise. Amen. How many of you have been ministered to? I've been ministered to powerfully. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much.
Oh, by the new and living way.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us by WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you.
Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated for the